All right, so actually this sermon tonight is coming from the topic of wine and wineskin. This actually came forth on Monday night during our first night of 5 days of prayer as we came together as a church. I was sitting in the front and I just kept imagining this wine flowing through this church and through this place. And so I quickly turned to my Bible and I got to Matthew, and I remember that actually this passage where Jesus talks about wine and wineskin, and I'll read it in a second, it's actually repeated 3 times in the Gospels. And I think that's a very important thing for us to note as we move forward. This is, Jesus is bringing this idea of wine and wineskin, and he is actually, it's very important to him. So therefore, it should be very important to us, right? So let's just pray before I get started. I really need it tonight, and I think I love that this church is a house of prayer, so I think why not a little bit more prayer. So if you could just close your eyes and bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the word for tonight. I thank you for this amazing Bible that I have here in front of me that's the living word. I thank you, Jesus, for these words that you uttered and that you spoke, God. I thank you for the parables. I pray that, Lord, these words would land on hearts that are a soil that is prepared for the seed, God. I thank you for each person in this place. I pray that you bless them, God, that you touch them, God, that you speak to them. And Holy Spirit, would you have your way throughout this room, God? Use us, God. Let us grow from your word and use us to further your kingdom in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So the text for tonight is Matthew 9, verses 14 to 17. I'll be reading from the ESV. And the same thing is actually repeated in Mark and in Luke. And each one with a little different nuance, but we'll read from Matthew 9. Then John's disciples came and asked him, "How is it that we, the Pharisees, fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of a bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will put away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst. The wine will run out. The wineskins will be ruined. No, they will pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." Amen. I'm going to try this one out where I hold this. The reason I felt strongly from the Lord to talk about this passage was because through this week of prayer that we just had, we basically entered a week of repentance, a week of seeking the Lord, a week of holiness. And for me, that was a very important week. And especially coming from a season where the world kind of looks at darkness, we're looking to be the light of the world, amen. And so we started off November 1st and so on for throughout this whole week of prayer. And I'm so thankful for the leadership to actually continue this, because this will mark us, Emmanuel Church, a time of prayer without any distraction. And so I thought about this passage often, and Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and disciples regarding fasting. And then he like in Jesus' form, he brings parables. He doesn't give them a 3-point sermon. He brings them imagery. And only the way he can. And I love that Jesus does that, because he uses the most simple words. When we try to use 1,000 words, he uses just the most simple, basic topics. Basically, Jesus meets the people where they're at. And I think that's so crucial for us as a church too, that we meet anyone else who isn't of Jesus' follower, that we meet them where they're at and we share the gospel with them. See, some people will say Jesus in the passage was actually a rebel, because he didn't fast. The Jews at this time were fasting 2 times a week. Typically used to be more, if I can give you some context, it used to be the Day of Atonement where they would fast and prepare. But you know, as good religious people, and even us, we just started a week of prayer, and I really hope that this continues, right? Maybe every year that we can do a week of prayer like this starting November 1st, like that's an amazing tradition. They also found traditions, and Jesus was basically refocusing the whole point back to people. He was refocusing them back to people. See, they were so focused on fasting and why they weren't fasting and why they were reclining at the previous context is that they were reclining at Matthew, previously Levi, when Jesus said, follow me, he threw a party at his house and had all the tax collectors show up. Now, the tax collectors at that time, they were actually the crooked businessmen of that time, you know. They weren't sought after. They weren't looked up to, you know. So if you have businessmen around you, you know, and you kind of go, man, I don't trust that guy. He's shady. That's the kind of guy that Matthew was. But Jesus said, I'm calling you. Follow me. And so they threw a party because they weren't used to fasting two times a week like the Pharisees or the religious people of that time. And Jesus actually met them where they were, and he spent time with them. And he got challenged, and he didn't dishonor the traditions. He just said that they are more important. He even says in that passage before, don't the sick need a physician, right? What's the point of having a church if there's no sick people? Like, we're actually here to help bring the good news to people, right? If we're only self-serving, then what's the whole point of us being here? Then might as well just, you know, pick favorite songs only and pick favorite speakers only, right? So I love that Jesus is actually challenging, but in a very beautiful way. He's not looking to uproot the whole system. He loves these Pharisees. He loves these teachers. He agrees with a lot of these teachings. He doesn't agree necessarily with maybe the traditions or maybe the way that they're focusing their attention on those instead of the people. And throughout this whole scripture, Jesus often talks a lot about grapes and the vine, like John 15:5, you know, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Like, he's using imagery that at that time they were accustomed to. Now, me and you, we think of wine and wineskin, and we don't actually know what that means. Well, A, you know, we're not really used to the idea of wine. We drink grape juice, you know, and different things like that. But what Jesus was trying to say at that time was because wine was such an important part of their economy. That's why he gave them stuff that they understood. And the wine process actually was a difficult process sometimes. And I love that this morning we talked about the clay and the potter and the clay, right? You guys remember that this morning? And it actually kind of like perfectly aligns with this imagery because ultimately we are at the mercy of the Lord and we're called for holiness. And the whole goal of this, even tonight's sermon, is that it would reveal the light of the Lord, that it would cause us to repent and to come back to holiness, and that we would be restored by Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and that we would be redeemed so we can move forward with the kingdom gospel. Amen? So that wine process was actually a difficult one. Maybe us as Romanian Americans or Romanian, maybe some of you guys might know a different analogy. So let me meet you where you're at. How many of you guys like that pink lemonade juice in your refrigerator that your mom makes in the trash can, you know? That takes maybe a couple days, Mata. You guys know that? You guys know what I'm talking about? It's not lemonade. It's definitely a little more sour. It took a couple days. It took a little while to ferment, to create. You guys know what I'm talking about? Some of you guys love it. Yeah, some of you guys are like, no, thank you. Maybe some of you guys had an experience where you guys thought it was lemonade, drank it, and then said never again, you know? Guilty, yeah. See, there's that. So the idea was he was trying to bring this imagery to the people that they understood. And the wine actually represents the new covenant that Jesus was bringing forward. Because different ways of expressing it could be different things, but I want to focus tonight on the wine, the wineskin, and that all leads to a renewed life. So the wine is Jesus, actually, in this passage. The wine is the new covenant, which is why he's here to reveal the truth, right? And see, there's a transition from the old covenant to the new covenant, and this is why he had a little bit of a hustle with the Pharisees, but he totally understood that. That's why he was so generous to them by giving them parables. The new covenant actually brought differences that the old one didn't have. For example, the old covenant was basically a man's way of reaching to God. And so they used blood sacrifices or blood animal sacrifices. You guys know that through the Old Testament. But the New Testament, the new covenant that Jesus brought forth, is actually God's way of reaching man through Jesus. Now, those animals that were used in the past to cover your sin, this is where Jesus comes through. The old covenant also centered around man's faithfulness towards God, but the new covenant centered around God's faithfulness to you and me. the perspective shift that only Jesus brings, and I love it so much. The Old Covenant was basically a performance-based religion. Maybe a lot of us are used to that, between man and God, but the New Covenant is a grace-based relationship between God and man. And this is why the wine is so important for us. The whole reason Jesus is saying you can't pour new wine into old wineskin, or you can't put a patch to fix a cloth, maybe that will resonate a little bit more with us, is you can't, Jesus wants all of you. He doesn't want part of you. He doesn't want to just be a patchwork in your life. He wants to fill you completely. He wants to fill you to the point where you're growing, and I'll explain to you more about that as well. Jesus came to bring the new covenant and offer a brand new life for me and for you. This is that new wine. And even more, after we accept Jesus, the point too is that we don't also become rigid like the clay this morning, but that we pursue holiness, that we continue to pursue it, right? It all actually happens in this beautiful analogy of Jesus. If he is the new wine and the new covenant, how do you make wine? Well, back in those days, you don't just go to Napa Valley. They would actually work really hard in the field, and they would gather grapes, and they would step on them. They would take off their shoes or their sandals, and they would step on them for many times, and that would drain the grapes, and then slowly would come out. So here's a perfect analogy again, that Jesus was bruised for our transgressions. He was pressed. He was in the crushing. He was under pressure. And he was perfect, and he was perfected. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, it talks about that. He was perfected, or in other words, he finished and completed the perfect process through his suffering. So this new wine is beautiful because it is actually the sacrifice, the blood that we drank this morning, and for example, with communion, that represented that sacrifice. It keeps us close. It draws us near. It keeps us pure. It reminds us that when we have fault, we got to get back to the Lord. Amen. We can't just stay looking around. We have to constantly be in this beautiful tension, a sweetly broken tension of humbleness, of confidence, of humility, but with knowing that we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, right? And then we can move on to the wineskin. Now that part is more me and you in this house. The wineskin is actually, some of you guys might have heard it, you know, in different songs or different iterations, called the vessel. And that actually is a more unique process that we for sure don't understand, because we never had to drink wine out of goat skin. How many of you guys ever had that? Don't raise your hand. Quickly make sure that doesn't happen. The wineskin is very important. This is the vessel. This is me and you. Jesus is saying, and he's also prophesying the future, saying that he's he's the groom and the groomsmen are there. This is beautiful because early on in his ministry, he's already giving you the picture of what will happen, his suffering, and that he is the wine. But it requires me and you to be new wineskin. Now, there's different ways to approach it, too. The wineskin is also new when you are converted. But I also think that throughout Scripture, we see that there is an enlarging. There is the Bible asking us to renew our minds. And so, therefore, we have to constantly check in on this wineskin. If the wineskin has gotten old, we need to get refilled. And God can then reshape us again to be a new wineskin, right? So the goat skin, actually, this is the most unique part, because now these days we have, like, in the fermentation process, we have these barrels and these different rooms that we can put them in. But back then, they didn't have anything extravagant or technology, so they used goat skin in that process. And they used goat skin because it was unique in the sense that it would expand. And the fermentation process, if I can just give you a little history on this process, is when you take the grape juice and you mix it with yeast, it starts to ferment, which is amazing because the blood of Jesus is alive. Amen? It's ever growing. It's moving. It's within us. That's why there was blood sacrifices in the Old Testament, because even that represented a bloodline, a blood life. And we even know from the world that people even took that same analogy, like the Aztecs and so forth. They all knew that life ran through the blood. And the reason the wineskin had to be goat skin is because during that process, gas would actually happen in the fermentation. And so it would expand, and it needed a flexible system to grow in, to become what it was meant to be. How many can you relate to that? We need to be flexible in a time of revival. We need to be flexible in a time of transition. We need to be flexible in a time where we seek the Lord. It's not always the way we want it, but God is looking for people, not for traditions. He's looking for results in the sense of, did you feed the lost? Did you feed the homeless? Did you feed my people? Did you take care of my people? He's not saying, how big did you make it? He's saying, who did you love? And in that season, in that place, we have to be flexible, just like the goat skin. And the unique thing about the goat skin is actually you could only use it once, because at a certain point, the goat skin would actually harden after the wine was set. And if you're not careful, it would crack. That's why Jesus is talking about. And at that time, the Jews knew exactly what he meant. And that's why I'm trying to paint you that picture. You cannot pour new wine again back in that, because it would crack. The gas would start building up again, and it would kind of explode, and then you would waste both the wineskin and the wine. And if you've ever thought about it, I don't know how many of you guys have ever hunted before, it's not easy to just come across goat skin. You have to work at that process too. Just as hard as you work for the wine. So Jesus has put in the work. He suffered. He was bruised. He died for our sins. Me and you in this place, we have new life because of him. Yet we just think that we don't do anything about it. No. There is a process to get this wineskin, this wineskin and this goatskin ready for us, which is our temple, which is us, which is our minds, our spirits, our bodies. We cannot just come at it cheaply. This isn't a cheap grace. This is a beautiful, expensive, it cost the world itself. It cost Jesus Christ himself. And so therefore, we need to be flexible, but we also have to know that this is a very important thing. You can't just throw it away and do it again. This is why maybe the older generation has a little bit of a harder time with our younger generation, because they knew that once they made the decision, that's it. And they often criticize us younger people that we keep flopping. You know, one day we're in, one day we're out. We keep changing our minds. And so there's this difference of even perspective in it. So maybe we can get like a longer term perspective even with this wineskin. But definitely the wineskin leads us to our heart. Ultimately, this isn't just about a posture of the temple or a way to look at it. It's a process of the heart. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Amen? That wine that was crushed, those grapes that were crushed with Jesus on the cross, we're bought at a price. And when we receive Jesus in our hearts, we receive the Holy Spirit. So we cannot play games with this thing. We cannot cheapen the Holy Spirit. We cannot cheapen what we are as who we are. You're sons and daughters of the living God, and he's within you. He's all around you. He's for you. He's not against you. He's looking to expand his kingdom, not decrease it. He's looking to love you. But he's not looking just for cheap stuff. He's looking for heaviness. And that's why this week brought forth a repentance week, a holiness week, which, church, we absolutely need. And I'm so thankful you guys responded so well by showing up every single night. Because that confirmed that we are flexible, that we're moldable, that we're here. And that brings that transformed life. That life of prayer that we had this week brings a transformed life. It shifts our mindsets, like Jesus loves to constantly challenge. It can shift your habits, and it's enlarging you. So this is the cool thing about Jesus. He actually paid the price. He was crushed. He was under pressure. Sure, we deal with pressure, but when he's in us, he actually enlarges us. It's all about perspective. A lot of times we like to make ourselves the victims, but we're not the victims here. Jesus was the one who died on the cross for us. We are the we have an inheritance because of him. And so he's enlarging us. And in Isaiah 54, verse 2, you guys kind of know this. And this is why I love the Old and New Testament mixed together. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. He's calling us to enlarge. He's not calling us to shrink down, to hunker down. He's calling us to have a kingdom mindset, a Jesus perspective. Amen? But how do we do that? With holiness, with righteousness, by forgiving our brothers and sisters. That's how we heal. We're called to heal by forgiving first. And that's how we expand our expectation of what God can do in our life. And that leads me to the renewed life. Jesus wants to pour himself into us. And we need a new about face. We need a new wineskin, guys. We need new perspectives. We can't just be patchwork. We cannot be just a church who just wants a quick fix and goes home. We are a church that meets five nights a week for an hour and prays and seeks the face of God. We're not looking for a quick fix. We're looking for repentance and holiness. This renewed life, this pursuit of God, this holiness that only God can bring through redemption. Amen? It requires those certain things. 1 Timothy 2, verse 20 to 21. Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay. Some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. I'm not going to tell you what that is. You can use your imagination. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. We are called to be vessels for the good work of God. You want to make sure that you are the clay, like we talked about this morning, that is easily worked and molded. You are not just a clay who's hardened early on in the process, that you're flexible to receive the new wine, which is Jesus Christ himself. If we can do that, God can use us in a mighty way. Even though some people might look at you and think that you're dishonorable, God can use you. God can use me. God can use this church. But it requires a constant self-evaluation and connection with Jesus through the Holy Spirit. See, another ways of thinking about it too, you can even say that the new wine is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as well, because this new covenant brought the outpouring of the Holy Spirit like an Acts. But it requires a pure vessel. It requires us to be a pure vessel, church. It's not enough to come to church, though, and expect results and not change your heart, and not go before the Lord humbly. And I remember 10 years ago, we had an outpouring in this church. I'm tempted to think like, man, maybe we're coming here expecting the same thing. God's saying, no, I want to do a new thing. Maybe we're coming thinking like we want to show that God is with us, but we haven't actually shifted our hearts. We haven't shifted our wineskin. We haven't prepared us. Maybe there are cracks. Maybe we don't even realize that God has actually emptied himself out of us. We need a refilling of God in this place. We need a refilling of God in our hearts and in our minds and our spirits. Amen? Because there's no point to think you're fine. The tradition, even though that Jesus was countering this tradition, he didn't say that traditions were bad. He didn't say fasting was bad. He even said later they will need to fast because fasting is a very important discipline. I mean, these days, fasting from food is probably difficult, but fasting from social media, fasting from things that distract you nonstop is even more important sometimes. Because really, it's whatever distracts you from the Lord that keeps you away from God is what you need fasting from. It's a spiritual discipline, just like the Sabbath is, or just like taking time to rest, or just like getting on your knees and praying, even though you don't feel like it. Those are beautiful exercises that we as a body need to do. But we need to first and foremost be able to give ourselves an x-ray. Do we actually carry the wine of God in our life or not? And if we don't, we need to change our mind, change our heart with the Lord's help and become the new wineskin. Maybe even greater wineskin than before. Maybe God is calling you to greater levels, from glory to glory of his presence, glory to glory of what he can do in your life. Maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking, I really need God to touch me in this place, but at the same time, you haven't repented of certain sins. Like, that's a call for holiness right now in this place. I believe that only if we truly come before the Lord with holiness as our goal will he pour out over this church. We can't expect new wine if we haven't shifted. We can't expect new wine if we haven't changed our habits. How many of you guys know that Albert Einstein was pretty smart? He wasn't a believer, but he said something pretty important. He said, he defined insanity, and some of you guys know this, as doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. I feel like that word of advice is actually something that the Christian church does often. We keep doing the same thing over and over again, and then we complain to each other why we're not seeing fruit. You're fighting with your spouse over and over again, and you're thinking, why haven't we seen peace in our house in a while? Why haven't we seen his protection over our house in a while? You haven't changed the way you talk to your kids, and you're wondering why they're rebelling against you and not listening to you. You know, God is calling us for a holiness and a purity from the head down, that we would actually not do patchwork anymore, that we would actually be a full new wineskin. We need the regeneration of the Holy Spirit too. We can't just expect it to happen that one time and then we're fine for the rest of our lives. How many of you guys know that the day you guys said yes to Jesus, it wasn't just all butterflies and rainbows. One of my favorite things to tell people is when they talk about mountaintop experiences that I had with Jesus, they go, what do I do? I had a mountaintop experience with God and now I can't find him. And I go, hey, you remember that one time in the passage where Jesus is baptized in the river and the dove ascends upon him and then even the Lord speaks and everyone is there witnessing it? What does he do next? What does Jesus do next? How many of you guys know? He goes straight to the wilderness. One day of amazing, 30 days of wilderness. I don't know about you, but that ratio is a little off to me. You know, what America sells me is glory, 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 need, 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 want, want, want. And here Jesus is saying, the discipline is more important. I'm pouring myself out. I am perfect, but I'm still being perfected because I'm accomplishing what I need for you and for me. And so those 30 days, if you can find joy like Jesus did, if you can recite the word of God, and if you can be led by the Holy Spirit to the wilderness, because he was led by the Spirit, 40 days, sorry. He was led there by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was so in tune with the triune God. It's so beautiful. Ezekiel 35, 25 to 28. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities, from all of your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove you from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. Which is so beautiful because Jason basically read something very similar to this passage earlier during the exhortation. But he's looking for a new heart in this place. And that's where my challenge comes tonight. My challenge is coming more from a place of, do you want the new heart, the new wineskin in your life to receive what God has for you? Or are you not willing to shift? As a church, we need this new wineskin. Maybe in your family, you as the husband or the wife need the new wineskin for the sake of your family. As a teenager looking to see what God has in store for you, what's the calling in your life? You can't give him patchwork sacrifice. You need to give him your whole heart. He is looking for this heart. He's looking for this regeneration that will only happen once you accept him. So the new wine is Jesus. The new wine is the gospel. The new wine is the renewed life. It's the new covenant. And it's being filled with the Holy Spirit. Me and you, we're the wineskin. Are you prepared for a new heart? For a transformed life? For a holy temple? Not a patched up temple, but a holy temple. Because everyone wants the wine, but no one wants to do the new wineskin thing. But if we're vessels, we need to pursue the Holy Spirit because we need to pursue holiness. We need to be flexible. We need to be moldable. If you ever get rigid in your ways, stop yourself. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Allow yourself to be filled again with the power of God. Because God came in the person of Jesus, and he never committed any wrong act, and he was perfect and sinless. And he said, I'm going to die for your error. I'm going to die for your wrong. I'm going to die for your sin. All we have to do is accept it. It was freely given. The heaviest price was freely given to me and to you. And this morning, we came before the church, and we drank, and we partook of the bread. And this is why it's so beautiful that we have 3 nights now where we can gather together before Communion Sunday and come before God with prayer. We're going to be flexible. We're going to be flexible even in our schedules. We're going to be flexible to come wholeheartedly before the Lord and seek the true King of Kings, who only He can pour out this new wine. In Psalm 51, I'd actually like to read most of it. On Monday night when I was here, I was thinking about the new wine and the wineskin and what that looks like for us, and even for us moving forward in the near future, and you moving forward in your commitments and such. I feel like Jesus in this season is calling us to remember that we can't get rigid. I think He reminded us this morning that we shouldn't be a clay pot that is stuck in its way, because God is the one that can mold us if we're open to that. Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. This is why I believe that we're in a holy week, because we're in for holiness, church. For I know my transgressions, and you know yours, and I know my sin is ever before me. How many of you can agree with that? It's not all sugar-coated. It's real life. And against you only I have sinned and have done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in my iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Later in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your willing spirit. I love David, and maybe Coco, you can help me out with this. Maybe we can go into a little time of response. I love David because he truly was a man after God's own heart. Was he perfect? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. He committed adultery. He killed someone. And God says he's a man after my own heart. You know why he was a man after God's own heart? Because of this passage. He was aware that he was sinful. He was aware that he needed Jesus to restore him. He was aware that he needed a clean heart, that he needed a renewed spirit. And I think that we do as well. Maybe, Coco, if we can do, yeah, let's do that one. Because ultimately, us as a body, as a church, we need a cleansing. We need a holiness in this place. And the reason we're so thankful with these Sunday nights, we actually have a little bit of time for a little bit of a response. Church, would you be comfortable with a little bit of response from this kind of message, that where we come before the Lord and we worship Him and give Him these sins that we had before Him, that we pray and that we worship through these moments, that we don't just hold it in and feel guilty and leave it there, but that we go before the Lord and we lay it at His feet. That we lay these transgressions, that we've missed the mark, that we've sinned multiple times, even just today possibly. And God, we're coming before you looking for clean hearts. That He would pour out His Holy Spirit in this place yet again. Listen, when I was talking earlier about the outpouring that we had in this church, that's not saying I don't want it. I absolutely desire the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this place. I absolutely am hungry for the presence of God in this place. I'm hungry to see me and you restored back into a place where we're living with God in fullness, in abundance. But it first requires us to be set apart, to give up our sinful nature and to ask for the new wineskin. That we wouldn't just be patchwork Christians, that we would be a full new garment. That even though we're the where the son that was living in sin and in the world, and when he finally realized where he was, he ran home to the father, and the father was quick to give him back the coat. Not a patch. He didn't patch him up and say, give me your clothes, let me clean him. He gave him his coat, quick. He gave him back his ring of authority, quick. That's our Lord and Savior, Jesus. That's our Father in heaven. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in us, me and you. And so I invite you, church, why don't we just stand in this place if you feel comfortable. If you can't, that's okay. But let's go before the Lord right now, seeking a clean heart. We've just gone through a week of prayer, a week of repentance. We had a sermon this morning that talked about our need to be molded, to be at the mercy of God's hands. And now we're learning about this wineskin that needs to be fresh. A flexible wineskin. Are you flexible in this place for the Holy Spirit? Are you flexible for the words of Jesus Christ in your heart? Without these things, we can expect all the outpourings ever. We can expect all the amount of blessing ever, but God's saying, you're not ready. Can we get ready, church? Can we get ready in this house tonight? Come on, let's worship the Lord in this place.